Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. Make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush, Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Football, any of the other individual team podcasts in the NBA or the NFL. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, we've got our answer for the burning question of the Bulls season.
Taj Gibson will start at power forward on opening night for the Chicago Bulls against the Boston Celtics at the United Center. Joined, of course, by Robin Lopez, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo. That's your starting Bulls lineup. And
not a shooter among them.
We knew it was going to be Taj for the last few days or so. Fred Hoiberg finally made it official today, Tuesday, Sean.
Yeah, he said that at practice. We were kind of thinking, was he going to actually tell us, or was he going to drag it out to shoot around on Thursday because there's still a practice tomorrow that could have kept some mystery? And again, there was still a chance, like, he could have decided, you know, we just need the shooting so much, we're going to take a chance, even though Mirotić has been awful in the preseason, we're going to do that. But no, I mean, it was Taj. It was always going to be Taj. Nobody was surprised it was Taj. Fred said it was Taj today. He said the whole team knows.
Yeah, and it's the correct decision by Fred Hoiberg. This is a team that, once they signed Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, was constructed to try to be competitive now in the short term and get a little respect back and make a playoff run. So you got to do what's best for your team to win games, and there's something to be said for rewarding someone merit-based, which Taj did get, and preseason stats I think are already gone to history, but he shot 60-something percent in the preseason, basically, and was terrific. But I do want to point out, this is bad for the Bulls in the big picture, because Nico, again, had every opportunity to grab this. Huge season for Nico. He did not in the preseason. I know preseason is somewhat meaningless and will, first 10 games of regular season, carry so much more weight even when you're reflecting just on how someone's playing. But right now, concerning big picture, they would have rather had Nico win this job.
Yeah, I think it would have definitely been better for the Bulls if Nico had made it a discussion. It was just kind of the thing of after how bad the optics were last training camp when they basically came in saying right away that Nico was going to be the starting power forward, and then he was so bad that he lost the job like 2 weeks into the season, and then it alienated Joakim Noah in the process. You can't, if you're Fred Hoiberg, you can't go into it again saying, you know, we're just going to give it to this guy based on what we think, even if he's not showing it, and then alienate the guy who's been the veteran for all these years and hasn't complained. Like, you can't really justify not giving it to Taj. So I think just from an optics standpoint, Fred made the right call there, but I would agree with you. And then, you know, who knows, maybe Nico will have a really good first 6 or 7 games of the regular season, and Fred will decide to put him in the starting lineup. But now it's, you know, setting the precedent that he's going to actually have to play well in order to get those minutes, as opposed to he's gifted that spot and then he can play himself out of it.
Yeah, the thing, Fred Hoiberg, the spotlight's on him in year two to make adjustments, and that means both practically speaking on the basketball court to make this offense work, and also philosophically speaking, with his approach as a coach. We've seen in the preseason he's driven the team a little harder just by way of how long they've practiced, how hard they've practiced. Dwayne Wade admitted the Bulls' practices early on in training camp were tougher than the championship year era with the Heat. And this is another kind of reflective of that from Fred Hoiberg, because he's going based off merit. So it's good to see that he's making an adjustment, because you never want to do exactly what didn't work the year before.
Right.
So he did what he had to do. And as always with the Bulls, it's kind of clouded in what was best and what happened. And a little bit of drama here just when you look at the big picture of how Nico's development's going. Not, maybe not drama, but concern, obviously. But that's the big news. The Bulls will face a Celtics team that will be without Marcus Smart on Thursday. Ankle injury, I think.
Yeah, sprained ankle. He's going to miss, they said, the first week or so, which means they said opening night is definitely off the table. They play the Bulls again in Boston on November 2nd, so there's a chance that Marcus Smart won't play then either. They have a lot of depth in the backcourt, though, with Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley, and Terry Rozier has shown a lot in preseason, so that, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt them that much, but Marcus Smart is a good defender, so he's a guy that the Bulls would have to worry about.
Yeah, on the Bulls ankle injury news front, better news for Denzel Valentine, full practice on Tuesday, basically did everything, should be good to go for the Bulls in the season opener, and he probably slots in at the very end of the rotation, a few minutes, we would guess. I don't expect a whole lot, but some sort of role.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, and this is actually the first time in a while. I'd have to go back and see how long it's been since they've had everybody healthy on opening night. Because even last year, even though they had Derrick Rose healthy and everybody healthy, Mike Dunleavy had that back surgery before the training camp started. This year, you know,
2 years ago, Jimmy was hurt on opening night.
2 years ago, yes,
against the Cavs.
He didn't play, and so there, you know, there's always just kind of been Derrick Rose stuff before that. And then, you know, this time, the couple of question marks were Denzel, who Fred said he anticipates being available, and Cristiano Felicio, who the last couple of practices didn't practice because he had gotten elbowed in the throat in the last preseason game. Fred said he practiced today, so everybody's going to be good to go. Paul Zipser, I would imagine, is going to be the inactive. Just kind of a funny thing to point out, the NBA released the official opening night rosters for all 30 teams yesterday. The Bulls are the only team in the league that don't have 15 players on their roster. They have 14 after they waived Spencer Dinwiddie.
I think they're saving cash, and they're just on the prowl for that difference-making 15th man. Keeping an open mind, Sean.
I think it might be someone that has a house in the area.
Oh, you think?
I think it's possible.
Are you suggesting Kirk Heinrich?
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything one or the other on
that's
that.
Your Kirk Heinrich bit for the day. He remains unretired as far
as we know. He is unsigned. He is unsigned. I thought that Tom was going to pick him up in Minnesota.
They can't do that. He's on the wrong side of 30 for them to quote their statistics on. We have X number of players under 27, 25,
can we have four alphas?
He's not an alpha and has not ever been an alpha for the Bulls. One of the alphas for the Bulls, though, is Jimmy Butler. He spoke today, Sean, at practice. What did Jimmy have to say?
Basically, he said a lot of things. He said some things that make me think he doesn't read any of the criticism of this team, such as saying he doesn't pay attention to it. But he also said people can say whatever they want about us. We know everybody's underestimating us. So clearly he pays attention to us. So
he's
literally
quoting what we write. So I don't know. He has to be reading it and listening to it.
Oh,
right?
He's reading it. He just wants to make sure you know how much he isn't reading it, which always is a sign that he is reading it.
Maybe his fish are reading it, and then they talk to him in his boombox.
That's
aquarium.
Right. Transmit fish noises to the boombox aquarium. Is that?
That might be a Jimmy thing.
I don't know how. I didn't know the technology was there, but I also can't afford that kind of boombox aquarium, so I have no firsthand way of verifying
Jimmy's
that.
Jimmy's on the cutting edge. Jimmy did reference the First Amendment, saying that Sean and I have the right to share our opinion with you, our wonderful listeners, so that's what we're going to do. And I am still of the belief that the shooting issue for the Bulls is really concerning, although some people have pointed out the Bulls did do a pretty good job of scoring in the preseason, but you saw in that last preseason game in Omaha where they couldn't shoot 4 of 22 from three-point range, I believe, it got so ugly so quickly. So I'm still of the belief, really concerning the shooting thing.
I'm a little bit skeptical, but I'm also just excited that basketball is back. Cody, do you love basketball?
Absolutely love basketball.
Are you ready to get on the action?
You got to go to betdsi.com and we can all get in on the action. For more than 20 years in the business, BetDSI.com has been a top-rated business, safe, and I play there too. BetDSI.com has a great basketball special. Sign up today and get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit, and you know we all love bonuses. Great customer service with BetDSI.com. Fast and easy payment of winnings. Hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from all the time, and they have crazy lines and crazy topics too. You got UFC, you got Trump versus Clinton odds, and anything else you can think of. BetDSI.com even has live in-game wagering on football, basketball, and many other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything there. So go to BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. You can go there and use the promotion code BOWLS10, promo code BOWLS10, and get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
But you know who else is winning is all of us who are NBA fans, because the season is back today.
Yes, it is. Opening night, Cavs getting their trophy, that banner going up in the rafters for LeBron.
Getting their rings. They're playing the Knicks, which means we will get our first real look at Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah in Knicks uniforms.
Can I take a moment to point out the aside of all the New York sports stories right now?
Oh my God.
Coming out on the Knicks are the exact same stories we all spent the last 2 years in Chicago writing.
Derrick Rose thinks he's going to get back to being an elite point guard. Joakim Noah is feeling a step slow on defense. It's all just like you read this stuff and it's just like deja vu of the last however many years. All we have to do is wait for Pau Gasol to make passive aggressive comments about his minutes in San Antonio, and then we're just, the bingo card is complete.
It really is. I mean, Derrick also admitting that he's still learning the offense, and there's kind of a learning curve there.
Did you see that he said that they're really only running the triangle on out-of-bounds plays, and then Jeff Hornacek said, wait, that's not actually accurate.
I did not see that. That sounds like a really, really big problem if your point guard can't identify the offense, and I don't know what to make of the next. I just don't feel like Melo, Noah, and Derrick Rose are all going to be healthy at the same time for extended stretches that allow them to get anywhere close to their ceiling, is my prediction.
I would agree with that. And it's also just like they signed all these guys that are, you know, past their primes, and the guy they should be building around is 20 years old.
Yeah, Porzingis. And he should probably be playing center more often as a stretch five, but when he's out there with Noah, he's kind of going to be relegated in some roles, that power forward position. And if they put Porzingis at center, Melo at the four, I know Melo doesn't always love playing the four for extended stretches, but I feel like that would be better for them, so we'll check that game out tonight. But we need to make some other NBA predictions.
That's right. I know. We're just going to kind of go through this. Just so you guys know, we haven't really put a ton of thought into these predictions. These are just kind of what our gut feelings are right now. My thing with predictions is I don't love making them, because people will remember the ones you got wrong. Nobody's going to hold up the ones that you got right and give you credit for them. If nobody that I work for is paying me money to make predictions, I'm not going to make them. I know some people like to tweet out like their projections for the standing and stuff. Yeah. If nobody's paying me to do that, I'm not doing it.
Well, here's my thing. We're going to say them on the podcast. You guys are welcome to come back in April and then June when the NBA Finals are done too and point out what we said. We're all for that. You can tweet us at Cody Westerlund, at Hyken, at Locked On Bulls on
But
Twitter.
We also know you're not going to do that.
But if I don't put it in print exactly or online, like, it's going to be harder for you to find, and you're probably going to forget. So we're just going to have some fun right now. NBA champion, NBA finals matchup. What do you think, Sean?
I mean, we kind of know who the finals matchup is going to be. Unless LeBron gets injured, it's going to be Cavs Warriors. And it's not even unless one guy gets injured, because if Steph gets injured, the Warriors still have Kevin Durant. If Durant gets injured, they still have Steph and Klay and Draymond.
I obviously have Warriors over Cavs too. I think the more fun thing is...
Oh, did I not say who's going to win? Yeah, I think the Warriors are going to win the title.
Well, yeah, I just told the listeners for you. Yeah. I think you've told me that.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals, who do you think the teams are here that are edging toward the juggernauts in each respective conference?
So I like Boston in the East. I like, you know, obviously they added Al Horford. They have a lot of young talent. I think with Isaiah Thomas there, with Jay Crowder there, and Brad Stevens is such a great coach, I think they're going to take a step forward this year. And then I kind of think the Clippers are the team that is going to come in second in the West. I think this is kind of the year. This is sort of a do-or-die year for them. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are both free agents. I like some of the depth pieces that they added. I think San Antonio without Tim Duncan is going to take a step back, and I don't think they're going to be as good.
Yeah, he really held together that defense even. And, I mean, he was obviously consistent offensively too, keeping his averages per minute in points and rebounds up there still with many of his career metrics, and just didn't play as much, but he was the anchor of that defense, and that's going to be more difficult for them. I'm going to go out, not crazy here, but a little bit out on a limb. I don't know that they have the second best record in the West, but I think they're going to end up in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors.
The Spurs?
That's the Houston Rockets.
Ooh, that's interesting. I kind of like that.
I expect big things from their offense. I'm on board with Mike D'Antoni down there doing fun things. Zach Lowe, I believe, has pointed out in his bold predictions of the NBA column to open the season on ESPN that he expects them to set an NBA record for three-point attempts and maybe makes two. And I could definitely see that happening in that offense. I think it'll be cool to watch the Rockets this season.
I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. My problem with picking them to go that far is you have to assume that Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon stay are healthy. Both guys that have no track records of being able to stay healthy at all in recent years are going to be able to stay healthy.
Or play defense when they are healthy.
Well, you just know that the Rockets aren't going to be able to defend anybody. If they get that far, it's going to be because they outscore everybody, and I think their offense is going to be lethal if they can stay healthy. They have too many guys where it's like, I don't know if they can. I have the same problem with Memphis, who I think is one of the more talented teams in the West, but it's like you're counting on Chandler Parsons and Marc Gasol, who just had a foot thing, and Mike Conley, who missed the end of last season, to all be healthy, and I don't feel like betting on that.
Yeah. What about MVP, Sean?
I kind of think it's going to be LeBron.
LeBron over the entire Warriors team, whoever coming out of there?
Well, see, I was deciding between him and Durant. Here's the thing. I know the popular narrative pick is Russ, because he's going to just go nuts and put up insane numbers with Durant gone. But when is the last time somebody won MVP when they didn't play on one of the top two or three teams in their conference?
You would have to tell me. Probably a long time
ago. Right. It's like, it just doesn't happen. It's always from one of the best teams. So, sure, if the Thunder get the 4 seed and win 54 games, I could see Russ winning it. Or if the Rockets finish that high, I could see Harden getting it. But you're basically just looking at, the Cavs are going to have no competition in the East. So they're going to, LeBron, even if LeBron takes, a week off, he's still going to put up enough numbers just by accident. Yeah,
72 games still.
Right, and they're going to be the 1 seed. I don't think anybody on Boston or Toronto or anyone else in the East is really going to have a shot at it in terms of, who might get votes. San Antonio, if they have a really good record, maybe Kawhi Leonard gets some votes, but I don't see that. Maybe I could see Chris Paul getting some, but he and Blake Griffin might cannibalize each other a little bit.
Chris Paul would actually be a good guess if the Clippers can get, the 2 seed and just go wild in the West, because if they do that, he would have had a phenomenal season.
Right.
And at least push the narrative and conversation of a team that can, not beat the Warriors in the West, can play basketball with them, And there might not be a lot of teams that can even do that. I'm going to go stay on the Rockets bandwagon, James Harden, for MVP. He's going to get what was rightfully his a couple years ago.
Well, you think he should have won that over Steph?
I would have. At the time I said it, minority opinion, I agree, although I will point out that the NBA players agreed with me, for whatever that's worth. I thought 2 years ago when the Warriors won the title, I thought Steph and James Harden were both magnificent. I thought the burden that James Harden had to carry on a night-to-night basis was just so much compared to what Steph had to carry. And I know there's the argument about how just Steph being off the ball contorts defenses and brings attention and opened up. Totally get that. I just think James Harden had the ball in his hands so much pressure, such a responsibility, and put up numbers that nearly match Steph, basically, that I thought he should have won a couple years ago. I think he'll have bigger counting numbers. I think he will remain a very, very efficient player. I think his assist totals will go up, too, because he will be a little bit more of a focal point of the offense, and he'll just put up huge numbers. Warriors split a few votes. I don't think LeBron's going to go into overdrive for the MVP, and I don't know that he has to, but he has to get close. He has to care about the MVP award, and I don't know after winning this championship if he's going to care about the MVP so much or if he's going to care about setting himself up the best again for the postseason push like he's done well the last 2 years. So that's why I'm going with James Harden.
Okay, and so what about Rookie of the Year? That's the other one I think we should probably hit on.
You want to go first? You want me to?
I'm going to go totally off the wall here. I kind of think Joel Embiid is going to win it. This is kind of a weird rookie class. The obvious favorite to win it would have been Ben Simmons, but he broke his foot and he might not be back till January if he even is back at all, so he's kind of out of the window. And then the rest of it, a lot of these guys I think are good prospects, but are guys that might take some time to develop, like Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Dragon Bender. So if you look at who some of the top picks are, Embiid has looked incredible in preseason. I know it's just preseason, but he's a guy that was seen as like a generational talent as a big man when he got drafted 2 years ago, and then he missed his first two seasons with foot injuries. So far, he's been healthy. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going
to
get it.
Yeah, you need to point out to the listeners he's eligible because he hasn't played yet, obviously. So even though he's technically a third-year player.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, technically, I mean, Blake Griffin won Rookie of the Year in 2011 when he missed his entire rookie season with a knee injury because he hadn't played yet. Whereas, if he had played at all, because a couple years ago, Julius Randle got injured during the first quarter of his first game with the Lakers, and he missed the entire season, and then he wasn't eligible for Rookie of the Year the next year. But since Joel Embiid hasn't actually played in a regular season game yet, even though he was drafted 2 years ago, he's still eligible.
Okay, I'm going to go with Chris Dunn.
Sure.
Point guard, starting point guard in waiting in Minnesota, as Woj reported already. The Timberwolves believe he'll be ready about 20 games in the season. I think he'll impress and take the lead role in the latter three quarters, two-thirds, half of the season for the Timberwolves and kind of, you know, be a leader on that team as far as just getting them into respectability and maybe toward the end of a playoff push along with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Tibbs will be great for him. He's a guy who plays both ends of the floor, and he's probably the logical pick other than Embiid right now, I would think, with Ben Simmons out. They've already discussed trading Ricky Rubio, it sounds like. So Chris Dunn should have plenty of opportunity for Minnesota. Do you have a sixth man of the year prediction? I have Brandon Knight in Phoenix. And that's probably a cop-out pick.
See, they're not going to be good enough, I don't think, for him.
Yeah, but I think he could put up like 18 points a game off the bench.
Yeah, but the sixth man award usually comes from a good team. I think it's going to be Iguodala.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's a boring pick, but I think it's going to be Iguodala.
See, that's what happens when you get to six-man awards. You get boring picks.
Right.
Coach of the year, though.
Tibbs. I think the Timberwolves are going to make a big enough jump. I don't know if they're a playoff team necessarily, but, I mean, he has the reputation that if they go from 29 wins to low 40s, I think he's going to get kind of that bump.
Yeah, I agree on that one. Unless, what if the Warriors make like another 70, 71, 72 win push? Does Steve Kerr get any respect?
I think there's a lot of voter fatigue with the Warriors in just in general. I realize I just said I think Iguodala is going to win sixth man. But that's the one that hasn't like
after you debated maybe having Durant be the MVP too.
Right. I just don't see it.
Warriors could have Steve Kerr.
I mean, I could see Brad Stevens getting it if the Celtics.
Oh, that's a finish, very good
if the
point.
Celtics have a good year.
Yeah, I would probably cast my vote for Tibbs. I mean, he won it in his first year in Chicago with a huge year. He's not going to win 62 games or whatever he won in
Chicago.
Well,
but you have to keep in mind the Bulls were 41-41.
That jump, though, could be, you know,
the last year under Vinny,
20 wins.
And then they won 62, so that was a 21-win jump. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to have a 21-win jump because that would get them to 50 games, and I don't think they're going to win 50 games. But I think if, you know, if Towns and Wiggins both develop enough and Chris Dunn looks good, then, you know, if they get from 29 to 41, 42, around 500 in contention for the eighth seed, I think that'll be enough for a lot of people to look at.
We're talking about this voter fatigue, like, totally understandable. On the flip side of that, maybe we should just already mail Rookie of the Year to Joel Embiid if he stays relatively healthy, because he's going to be, like, a magnet for voters because he tweets so much, is so funny, is such a character. And that's going to play. That always plays into voting, too, you know? A little bit on the fringes, a lot of basketball. But when you get down to it on the fringes, that plays into it as well. So Joel Embiid really has the inside track there.
That's very possible. So that should about do it. We're going to go watch some opening night basketball as well as the Cubs' first game in the World Series against the Indians. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. But we'll have another episode for you tomorrow. Maybe looking more at how the Bulls match up with the Celtics ahead of their first game of the season.
And we have Bulls win predictions tomorrow,
that's
too,
coming
on our podcast.
That's coming. We'll take some questions tomorrow, too. So if you want to email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com, you can do that.
And I'm going to stay up all night, pull an all-nighter, adding up Bulls win totals game by game on the schedule, percentages to get you an exact total, maybe.
Please don't actually pull an all-nighter to pick a Bulls win projection for the podcast.
That's very true. But follow us at Lockdown Bulls on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook there as well. You can follow me at Cody Westerlund. Follow Sean at Hykin. And most of all, as always, subscribe to our podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find us. And thanks again to BetDSI.com for sponsoring today's episode. Make sure you go enter the promo code BULLS10 to get a free $10 wager. And we will be back with you later this week.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.